I just wanted to hit the gavel. The meeting is reconvened and called to order. I may have a motion to approve the minutes of the May 13th, 2010 regular meeting and the June 23rd, 2010 special meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I now want to welcome University Advisory Committee representatives who may be present this morning. Dr. Ellen Rosenbaum, Dr. Farrell Bryan, Dr. Carrie Friedman, Dr. Gregory Waz, Mr. Todd Latham, and Mr. Jay Montero. Welcome to all. Dr. Rosenbaum, are you here? No, is there anybody wishing to comment on behalf of the faculty at this point? Mr. Latham, anything you wish to share with the board?
Just that I have a spectacular council. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. Mr. Montero?
Just want to, on behalf of the operating staff council, welcome our new student trustee, Robert Sorensen.
Thank you for that. As I begin the first board meeting of the 2010-11 academic year, I want to take this opportunity to welcome our new and returning students, faculty, and staff to DeKalb. I was again struck by the excitement and enthusiasm move-in day and the beginning of a new school year generate, not only for students, but for faculty, staff, and even the trustees. Each fall represents a new opportunity, a new beginning. We need to make the most of the vitality and energy a new school year brings. This year, we have the privilege of welcoming over 5,000 new Huskies to this great university. Given the uncertain economic climate the entire nation finds itself facing, NIU and other four-year institutions have to work even harder to recruit and retain students. I want to thank everyone in admissions, financial aid, registration and records, student affairs, the deans and faculty for the great work in bringing this fall's group of new students in. I also want to remind everyone that recruitment and retention are everyone's responsibility here on campus, and that our students need us more than ever before. Our students need to feel and know that the entire NIU community truly cares and that we will help them achieve their goals and dreams. Our students, current and future, should remain at the core of everything we do and every decision we make here at NIU. President Peters said it well recently when he set a goal of becoming the most student-centered public research university in the Midwest. I don't know how many of you had the chance to read Washington Monthly's just released 2010 National University Rankings. Washington Monthly rates schools based on their contribution to the public good in three categories: social mobility, recruiting and graduating low-income students, research, producing cutting-edge scholarship and PhDs, and service, encouraging students to give something back to their country. NIU ranked in the top 50% of the 258 national public and private universities ranked in 2010, and most importantly, ranked second only to U of I at Urbana-Champaign amongst Illinois State public universities. The good news doesn't stop there. In the recently released 2009 Payscale College Salary Report of recent college graduates, NIU made the list of top U.S. state universities in terms of salary potential of its graduates, and once again came in second only to UIUC amongst Illinois public universities on the list. NIU graduates' starting median salary in 2009 was listed at $43,700, and mid-career median salary was listed at $80,300. I share these two good news stories with you this morning as proof that NIU is beginning to tell our story, the story of the power of education and the power of NIU. We are witnesses to the power of NIU to transform the lives of thousands of students, alum, faculty, and staff. We all have experience firsthand the power of this great university and its impact in each of our lives, and we need to continue to share our stories with all who will listen. President Peters charted a course for this university in a State of the University address on September 2nd that has set the stage for a very important strategic discussion over this academic year. John will share with you about this initiative during his remarks this morning. As chair of this board, I want to add my support to that of and that of this board to President Peters' Vision 2020 initiative, and to commit to you, John, and to the campus, that this initiative will remain the focus of our board as well throughout this year. We eagerly anticipate our June 2011 board meeting, where final strategic benchmarks and direction are brought to this board. Having said that, let's turn to our agenda. Item 7. This is a point in our agenda where the chair may recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Davidson, have you received any timely requests to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, no timely requests have been received.
Then we will now hear reports of our various committees and liaisons. The Executive Committee did not meet, so we will begin with a report from the NIU Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee. Chair Butler?
I'm sorry, can you move to the other one?
I wasn't ready. Facilities and Affairs.
Trustee Sanchez, lovely to hear from you.
Thank you, Chair Strauss. While my co-trustee Butler gets ready, I just happened to look at the agenda. Thank you. The Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee met on Thursday, August 26. At the meeting, our committee considered and approved the following recommendations. For fiscal year 2012, appropriated and non-appropriated capital budgets, College of Engineering Research Project Grant Subcontract, Revenue Bond Underwriting Service Agreements, Capital Project Approvals of Roof Replacements for 9 Academic Buildings, Roof Replacement for Home Student Center, Fire Sprinkler System, First Year Residence Hall Project Agreements and Depository Account Authorizations, Grant Towers Renovation, Proton Therapy Program Support. The committee also received reports including the following: an update on tuition policy, fiscal year annual reports on tuition and fee waivers, capital activity transactions involving real property, cash and investments, and the obligations of financial resources, quarterly summary reports of transactions in excess of $100,000, professional excellence awards for faculty and staff. All the recommended items addressed by our committee are included in President John Peters' report, which he will present for the board's approval. This concludes, Mr. Chair, my report.
Thank you, Trustee Sanchez. Trustee Muir, Legislation, Audit, and External Affairs Committee.
Thank you. The Legislation, Audit, and External Affairs Committee met in DeKalb on August 26. Ken Zedner provided the committee with a legislative summary of a number of bills which Governor Quinn had signed over the summer and touched upon the fiscal year 2011 budget. He also reported that NIU has started working towards developing our FY 2012 budget request and will be submitting that information to the IBAG in October. We were delighted to hear the comments from Lori Clark that our NIU 2010 Congressional Summer Interns were extraordinarily well received and performed very well in Washington. And Ms. Clark indicated that we're already fielding calls from Illinois congressmen requesting NIU interns for next summer. So that's pretty terrific. That's really terrific. Keith Jackson reported that there were no audit findings in the university's FY09 governmental audit standards report or the financial audit. There were 6 findings in the compliance audit, and Mr. Jackson explained that these either have been or are in the process of being resolved. And we had a very detailed presentation from Mr. Jackson at the time of the committee meeting that identified our plan of action on any audit finding. Dr. Paul Bauer, director of the NIU School of Music, gave the committee a presentation on the partnership between NIU, the Elgin Symphony Orchestra, and Sherman Hospital, which whereby NIU and the ESO will provide musical content for a new cable channel available in over 250 hospital rooms. That is the practical application of academe, and it's really a very exciting dimension in what we're doing in the School of Music. Kathy Bittner gave a presentation and updated the committee on the new and exciting marketing initiatives that the university relations team have been developing over the summer. I'd be remiss to not compliment Vice President Bittner on the transition of this department and the aggressive disposition that her department has taken in regards to marketing and communication and making sure the message of NIU is brought forth. Some of these things include the university website, new emergency and university information sites. That's a very positive thing. And 5 new billboards that are now visible on Chicago area expressways, promoting NIU, several great new publications that will be distributed nationally to make other educational leaders aware of NIU. The billboards in particular interface the Alumni Association, and that relationship is continues to strengthen. I think the billboards are a very important part of what is happening at NIU and communicating what we're doing here. Apparently, the NIU has jumped into social media engagement with students and university stakeholders. We've surpassed 11,000 friends on the university's Facebook page, and we're seeing traffic on YouTube and Twitter sites. And I don't know too much about that. But I take her word for it. Dr. Cunningham presented LAEA with a follow-up report on NIU's domestic partnership provisions and shared with us how NIU compares to other MAC conference universities on this issue, and we will continue to address this the issue of domestic partnership provisions at our next meeting. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Trustee Muir. President Peters, is there a report concerning the Illinois Board of Higher Education?
Yes, the last meeting of the Illinois Higher Board of Education was held at Northeastern University on August 10th. There are two items that are of importance to NIU that occurred at that meeting. One is that the retirement of the Executive Director, Judy Irwin, who was very supportive of NIU's initiatives over the years, retired, and there is a search process to find a new executive director. The second was that the IBHE approved, or at least accepted as information, a non-capital project for NIU, which was the ground lease for our freshman residence hall facility. And I was very pleased because with me in attendance were several student leaders, Vice President Hemphill. Robert, I think you were you there? Rob, you were not there. Well, then I won't say you were there. But our SA president was there in our residence hall. That's very important because if there are questions at IBHE about these sorts of projects, they want to know the student view. The next meeting of IBHE will be held at Robert Morris on October 5th.
Thank you for your report. University Civil Service Merit Board, Trustee Vella.
Yes, thank you, Chair Strauss. I attended the Civil Service Merit Board meeting that was held on August 18th in Urbana, Illinois at the Merit Board headquarters. Our board reviewed the discharge proceeding against an employee of the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, and we upheld the administrative law judge's recommendation to discharge that employee. On that date, the board was informed that on June 21st, 2010, the Circuit Court of DeKalb County remanded the case of Officer Reddick back to the Merit Board to hold a discharge hearing on Officer Reddick's separation from Northern Illinois University. The Merit Board has directed NIU to file written charges for discharge no later than August 12th, 2010, and the Merit Board will probably take this up at our November 2010 meeting. The Merit Board approved the director's recommendation for the FY 2012 budget. The board received information regarding the public official's errors and omissions insurance policy, a budget update, an update on the office lease, audit program updates, classification examination updates, and updates on university agency visits. The board received reports from the Human Resource Directors Advisory Committee, the State University Civil Service Advisory Committee, and our legal counsel regarding the upcoming discharge cases. Our next meeting was scheduled for November 17, 2010. After that meeting, we have found out that on December 13th, Attorney Mary Fulmer, I don't know if any of you know her, who was the attorney for the Merit Board, passed away suddenly. She was a great person to work with. I worked with her before and this time on my tenure there, and all of us who knew her are really shocked and sad, and she was at our last meeting and she seemed fine. She will be greatly missed by the Merit Board. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Although our representatives to the University Foundation are Trustees Boy and Muir, I understand that this report is going to be delivered by Mallory Simpson.
Thank you, Chair Strauss. Well, it's official. True North is a wrap. On June 30th, we closed the books with $163,314,710.10. So, we had more than 59,000 alumni and friends contributing to the campaign during the period of True North. Nearly $35 million went toward three privately funded facilities. More than 14,700 scholarships were awarded, totaling more than $9 million. And there was funding for professorships and chairs of 26 professorships and chairs through True North. So that's a pretty remarkable success. We're very happy about that. I'd like to acknowledge the leadership of several folks that led to the success, starting, of course, with President John Peters, and also including Vice President Mike Malone, several fantastic members, senior staff members of mine who are working hard elsewhere today and couldn't be here this morning, John Bass and Alberta Soffisberg in particular, who were here through the entire duration of True North. And of course, our hardworking deans who really stepped up the game in terms of support for our colleges during True North. The impact of these gifts, the funding, of course, is far-reaching and will be long-standing. But FIRST campaigns are about a lot more than just the dollars and what those dollars mean for educational enhancements. FIRST campaigns really are a proving ground, a demonstration project. You know, we answered some important questions for ourselves, such as, they really help sharpen the focus of an institution. They allowed us to dream big. You know, we found an appetite, an inspiration, aspiration through True North. I think Dennis and Stacy really helped us do that when they made that first blockbuster gift, and we had never contemplated having privately funded buildings before. And they answer some key questions. Will our school, the alumni of our school, contribute in a big way? Do they have the financial capacity? Will they be motivated to give after they've been neglected for 20 to 30 years? And will they entrust us with their hard-earned resources? This was all new. It was answered with a resounding yes. In fact, the vast majority of major gifts came from donors with limited or no giving history at all. So their first significant gift was a very major gift. And if you look at alumni who made million-dollar gifts, like Dennis Barsema and Jeff Jordan and Ray Smirge and Galen Larson and Mike McSweeney and a few others, these are individuals who had not been connected with Northern Illinois University for decades, 20 to 30 years. And they're now million-dollar donors. That's what FIRST campaigns can do. And we've identified, we have 59,000 contributors, but we've identified many thousands of additional people who are yet to be engaged, who have the capacity to make major gifts. So we're building our pipeline for our next major efforts. You know, I think another coming through FIRST campaigns is it has to do with personnel and programs and systems and infrastructure. And yes, again, we proved that we have the basics in place. Our volunteer boards, the Board of Trustees, the Alumni Association Board, and the Foundation Board have continued to grow in strength through the campaign and influence. Their influence has grown, and I think the cooperation between these three volunteer boards has been really remarkable and is a tremendous asset for NIU. Our FIRST campaign has built confidence and pride among our alumni, among our faculty and staff, and our board members. It's helped enhance the image. It's allowed new pathways for engagement of alumni. We've got alumni doing all kinds of things in our institution that never used to happen. They're in the classrooms. They're serving on advisory councils. It's just a springboard for achieving better, bigger and bigger things. And I think the other thing about a first campaign is truly they engage the emotional core of a university, and they reveal our true heart and soul, and that's a very special thing. So we accomplished a lot besides the 163+ million. We've really built a philanthropic culture at NIU that will thrive for generations to come, and we have an infrastructure in place that will allow for future success. The bar has been raised permanently for private support. There really isn't any turning back. Our appetite has been fueled. Our inspiration is there. We must continue the momentum and grow our investment in private fundraising. The demonstration projects worked. We're limited only by how we can apply our efforts going forward. Our alumni are there with the capacity and the will to give. So we know there'll be big campaigns in our future, but there's only a first campaign, only one first campaign, and that's a pretty special thing. As you know, usually I end my report with a story of several individual donors, because those stories are all remarkable. But I think today instead we should celebrate the story of the community, the collective commitment and success of our NIU family in this first campaign. So we've got 59,000 alumni and friends, faculty, staff, students, and volunteers who have proven they love their university and they care about its students. And let's all applaud the NIU family.
Mallory, I hope you'll carry back to your colleagues and to the campaign chairs and the foundation board our appreciation for their assistance and also our wish that we continue to work productively with them whenever the next campaign comes. Thank you. Northern Illinois Research Foundation, Trustee Vella.
Yes, thank you, Chair Strauss. The last meeting of the NIRF Board of Directors was on May 13, 2010. We always meet right after this meeting. All board members were present with the exception of George Messina, managing partner of the North Star Growth Partners. Sherilyn Muir gave an update on the Northern Illinois Proton Therapy and Research Center. A report on the external audit of NIRF was presented by Keith Jackson, who indicated that the audit was clean and there were no material findings. Rita Yesko, manager of NIU's Technology Transfer Office, gave a report on NIU's IP activities for the previous 6 months. Under new business, James Ehrman, president of the NIRF board, reported that NIRF was looking into the possibility of accepting external grants and contracts on behalf of NIU's faculty as a nonprofit 501c3 corporation. The board met again via teleconference on June 28, 2010, with all members present. The sole item of business was to review the extension in the credit agreement between the Northern Illinois Proton Therapy and Research Center and J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, and the board approved the extension. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Trustee Butler, can we circle back to you at this point?
Yes, we can.
Great.
My apologies. I left some important information in the wrong bag.
This never happened to any of the rest of us.
Yes. I've never seen it happen. The Academic Affairs, Student Affairs and Personnel Committee met on Thursday, August 26, 2010. At that meeting, the committee heard reports on the following information items: Professional Excellence Awards for faculty and staff, 2009-2010 Faculty Emeritus Recognition. The Vice Provost, Virginia Cassidy, presented information on the Higher Learning Commission off-campus site visit. The Dean of the University Libraries, Patrick Dawson, presented a very informative presentation on the University Library System and its future. The Vice President of Research and Graduate Studies, Lisa Freeman,
presented a very informative presentation as well on FY 2010 external funding for research, public service, and instruction projects. In this context, we also gave special praise to the Office of Sponsored Projects and the Division of University Relations for their exceptional work in securing nearly $12 million in funding under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And that concludes my report.
Thank you for your report. It's kind of overwhelming listening to all this activity. So thank you to my fellow board members and everybody else in the university community who makes this possible. It's obviously a lot that happens when we don't have our full board meeting, and it's interesting to hear about. So let's see if we can't simplify some of this. Before we begin the president's report, may I have a motion to approve the items we earlier placed on the consent agenda that include president's report item president's report number 71, action items 9A, 3, 5, 6, 9, and 11, and our receipt of information items 9B, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, and 9C3.
So
is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. President Peters, would you please present your report?
Yes, thank you, Chair Strauss, and welcome members of the board and everyone in the audience. We're off to a very good school year. There's a lot of enthusiasm out there, and it's good to be back. 2 weeks ago, during my State of the University address, I announced the creation of NIU's 2020 initiative. I like that graphic. It's not red and black. It's different. And I want to share with just a bit more about that initiative with you today and why I feel it is absolutely integral to the mapping a path that will ensure our vitality for our future. You know, it's not an understatement to say that we're in an era of tremendous change and uncertainty. It's overwhelming. In terms of student success and fiscal sustainability, the public university model of the 20th century no longer fits. It's not a good fit anymore. Nationally, fewer than half of the students who enter the university or post-secondary education finish with a degree or a credential, less than half. And then there are so many more that never get there. Those who do finish take longer, they pay more, and they're saddled with too much debt relative to the kinds of professions that they pursue. That's why I was so grateful to hear our rankings in terms of the starting salaries for our graduates. What's more, in Illinois, the economic model that supported our institution for generations has eroded dramatically, and I really don't need to go into that, the fiscal problems that the state has, other than to say that this past decade has demonstrated that we, that is NIU, public higher education, can no longer rely on the state as a stable source of funding for our basic academic mission. It's still large, it's still over $100 million, but can we rely on its stability is the question. Our students are changing too. A growing number bring considerable experience and diverse backgrounds to the classroom. You know, they're transfer students, many military veterans, and I heard that NIU is going to be recognized soon as a university that's very accommodating and welcoming and successful with veterans. More on that later. And second career adults. Many of our students balance schoolwork with jobs and commutes to campus and family commitments. I don't know how they do it sometimes. As if that wasn't enough to come to grips with, we're confronting another major shift in higher education. And it really has to do with the competition for our student base. And so for most of the past 10 years, there's been really an abundance of college-bound students. And as a state institution, we People applied and we accepted. But those days are ending. Over the next decade, the number of Illinois high school graduates is projected to decline by 5%. That's huge. Meanwhile, there is more competition than ever for those students. So we have a dwindling supply, and there's more competition. And it comes from other state schools. You know, our big competitors are really not competitors, but in a sense they are. Urbana, UIC, Illinois State, to a lesser extent, Western and Eastern, traditional. And it comes from other state schools, from private institutions and community colleges. And boy, there are a bunch of them in the state of Illinois. And community colleges. College of DuPage is a very large institution. And it from out of state. Just about every major university in the country has recruiting offices in Chicago. And Central Michigan opened one in Rockford. Okay. There are also some relatively new players, namely online universities and for-profit institutions. And make no mistake about it, they are real competitors. For example, the University of Phoenix, that you all know about, today boasts an enrollment of nearly 500,000 students nationwide, and I think they're going global. It's a publicly traded company. You can buy stock in it. That's become so profitable that it now owns the rights to an NFL stadium. So, you know, if you don't have a football team, buy a stadium. Because great universities have to have a football. I guess that's the mentality. You know, it's the shifting landscape that provides the backdrop for the next decade, and certainly more. Traditional four-year colleges and universities, you know, we're notoriously resistant to change. That's just in our makeup. Even though, as educators and scholars, we're trained to embrace change, but I think it's our duty, for the sake of generations of to come, to adapt and to innovate and to motivate. And at this moment, I think it's fair to say that this number of changes that are coming at us and the magnitude and the speed of those changes is perhaps greater than in at least the past 50 years. I mean, it's our moment now. It's our moment to provide the leadership, as I see it. So taking that all into consideration, it really did become clear to me this summer that we had to take steps to control our own destiny and break out of this. And you know, we've got some great efforts going, the NIU Great Journeys, led by our Provost Ray Alden, and our Baccalaureate Review Task Force that's completing its work, and our Enrollment Management and Strategic Planning Group that is constantly working on our enrollment plan. Those all funnel into helping us to start to prepare for our future. But it became apparent to me that we had a missing link. So we had all these good activities, but we need ways to measure our success. You know, we need some goals. Just like True North had a goal, raise $150 million. I mean, everybody understood that goal. It was clear. It had aspects to it. What are you going to raise the money for? But it was clear. That goal was clear. We marshaled our resources. We did it with the help of a lot of people, and we declared success. So we need that same kind of goal for us in the next 10 years. We need mile markers to determine the progress we're making, and that's what led me to create the Vision 2020 initiative. Now, I'm in the process, a lot of people are in the process of creating a Vision 2020 steering committee or task force, and I'm amazed at the number of people who stop me in the supermarket or email me in the middle of the night wanting to be on the steering committee. And I think that's great because it's time for the campus to speak about these issues. You all can't serve on the steering committee, but you all can be involved. And we're going to build upon the work of the groups that I mentioned, the strategic planning group. And we're going to take that as a given and then tease out of there the best ideas. Our group's going to determine which strategic goals should be our highest priorities as we enter this competitive new era, and one in which society and government is going to place a premium. You know, we're moving from transparency and accountability. Now we're moving to efficiency and productivity and value for the products that we deliver. I hope this process will identify our key aspirations for academic and student life programs, among other things, and clearly define specific benchmarks for student, faculty, and facility excellence. And there may be more, because this is going to be a process. This will require accurately assessing where we stand now and projecting where we must be in the future. In my State of the University address, I discussed several that I thought were important, but there could be more, or some of those may not be valued as important, but I threw them out there. And today, I just want to mention two of them that I think are important, and the board thinks are important. And the first is we must set benchmarks for both student recruitment and retention, and find ways to ensure our fiscal sustainability. And the two are really connected. So central to Vision 2020, I think, will be defining what NIU's optimal enrollment should be. You know, we kind of been hanging at 24, 25. But we ought to rationalize that now. We ought to say, how big should we be? And more than that, break it down. What's the division between undergraduate and graduate and professional? How many first-time freshmen versus transfer students? All very important. So both size and composition. And as part of the discussion, we must set goals for things like high-achieving students. What percent of our incoming class do we want to be in the top of their high school classes? And what are the implications if we want to do that? For example, the committee will set standards, perhaps, on what percentage of our incoming students should, you know, well, have a certain SAT score, but more likely a GPA or a class rank. And in an era where a premium is placed on efficiency and accountability, we're going to have to examine productivity measures, including course completion rates. How many students that start a course complete a course? The number of graduates we produce each year? The percentage that take four, 5, or 6 years to complete their degree, those rates? The number of students we retain and the average time it takes to earn an NIU degree? And what's happening in terms of state funding is there's a movement away from funding based upon numbers or growth, and the switch, at least in 11 states, and I'm on a committee in Illinois that's looking at changing from that to productivity. So your base funding is based upon what percent of your students do you graduate, what percent complete a course. So everything is being flipped, will be flipped in the next decade. We have to get ready for that. I think it makes sense. We're going to study our peer institutions to see how we stack up and where we need to set the bar. And we have some very good peer institutions. But setting the goals is just the beginning. The committee will also be charged with developing strategies to reach those goals and identify funding sources to meet the objectives, because that point's crucial, linking your goals to resources. Most of these things are going to take resources. We have to evolve into a more efficient, fiscally sustainable institution that is less dependent on the state of Illinois. And when the economy recovers, and it will, and Illinois budget problems are solved, and I pray they will be, I don't expect state funding to ever return to the level or the percentage that it was in the salad days of public higher education in this country. So we cannot let that hurdle, however, prevent us from achieving the goal of making NIU and the most student-centered public research university in the state, if not the Midwest. And there's a duality there. We are a collection of scholars and researchers that discover and produce and disseminate information. But what I've learned about NIU is that we actively engage our students in that learning, and that produces a better educated person. That's the duality of NIU. So to do this, we must continue to be entrepreneurial and find creative ways to provide our faculty, staff, and students state-of-the-art facilities in which they can live, learn, research, and work. That's a challenge. Doing so will help us recruit not only excellent students, but exceptional scholars and teachers as well. We must also concern ourselves with retaining and rewarding our first-rate faculty and staff. And for some time now, circumstances have demanded that we ask our faculty and staff to do more with less and to do more without reward. And so we must make sure that those who work so hard on behalf of NIU are compensated for their commitment and their dedication. And I know the board shares that, and we're working on that. As I said, enrollment and fiscal sustainability are just two of the many issues on which Vision 2020 Committee will grapple, but make no mistake about it, our goals will be ambitious, and our benchmarks to which we hold ourselves will require us to stretch, just like we stretched in True North. No one thought we could ever raise $150 million in private money. I feel so strongly, as I've said, about this importance of this undertaking that I'm personally going to chair the Vision 2020 Committee. God help you all. And I am going to focus almost all of my attention on that. Again, I'm in the process of appointing a search committee to help coordinate and develop. By Thanksgiving, we're going to have a full committee in place. Oh, there's my picture. And, you know, we have a shared governance process, and we have a lot of constituencies that have to be involved. And by the close of the academic year, and inform the board today, we're going to present the board a report for their endorsement, but they're going to be involved along the way so there are no surprises, because this is truly a shared governance situation. That last point is very important because the board, it's essential that our board accept the goals of Vision 2020, and I know that they will be there as they have in the past. So we must have one vision so we can enhance our ability to control our own destiny and to ensure a vibrant future for Northern Illinois University for decades to come. So I'm done with my incidental comments and stop, pause there for a moment before I launch into our action items.
I think let's proceed to the action items then.
Okay, thank you. Agenda item 9A1. That item includes approval of NIU's fiscal year 2012 appropriated capital budget. It's hard to believe, but although we're still in the first quarter of 2011 and most of our capital funds for 2011 haven't arrived, the state's budget process calendar requires us to submit NIU's fiscal year 2012 appropriated capital budget request to the IBHE later this month. And as the board knows, NIU is slated to receive $2.8 million in planning funds from the state this year to begin planning the new computer science and technology emporium. Our 2012 request is for construction funds to begin that project, and you can see it's a very large project. In addition, we're requesting funding to fix up the electrical infrastructure on our campus, as well as to renovate Wirtz. That's the next priority. And this year, we've added funds to renovate Davis Hall, which is was the first science building on campus and is much in need of renovation and repair. So we're submitting a request also of $7.5 million in capital renewal funds, and the project list is contained in your board materials. And, you know, they're not sexy projects, but they're needed. Please note that we continue to request funding for several unfunded 2011 capital renewal requests. We just keep requesting, and hopefully we'll get the money someday. Given the state's dire financial situation, this request is simply that, a request. Unless something radically changes in the coming months, it's unlikely that the state will be able to find the funds for these projects in 2012. But it's important we continue to register our needs during the budget process. Thus, I ask the board approval for item 9A1.
Can I have a motion, please?
Move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 9A2 contains the fiscal year 2012 non-appropriated capital budget, and our non-appropriated capital budget is developed in a process from requests submitted by department heads on physical plant and facilities users. Requests are prioritized and presented for approval by the board to the board this morning. They include improvements to existing facilities and systems, building expansion, infrastructure, site roadway and utility improvements, and a complete list is found in table C-105 in your board material. So I ask approval of the fiscal year 2012 non-appropriated capital budget.
Motion, please.
Second.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries as well.
At our May board meeting, the board authorized the university to engage one or more firms to underwrite revenue bonds to fund renovations to existing residence halls and other infrastructure improvements. After posting an RFP and reviewing the 16 submissions, two underwriting firms were determined to best meet the needs of the university for this upcoming bond issue. The university requests board approval of agenda item 9A4, therefore, to enter into agreements with BMO Capital Markets, GKST Incorporated, and Cabrera Capital Markets, LLC, both Chicago firms, to underwrite revenue bonds to fund renovations to existing residence halls and other infrastructure improvements.
I have a motion, please.
I'll move.
Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Agenda item 9A7 lays out the university's compliance efforts in relation to an August 2004 public act that required installation of fire sprinkler systems in all university residence halls by 2013. The university divided the project into three phases, and phases one and two are now complete. Residence halls with completed fire sprinkler systems include Lincoln, Douglas, Neptune East, West, Central, and North. The decision to proceed with the renovation of Grant Tower C and the proposed new freshman residence housing development require adjustments to the fire sprinkler capital project in phase three. So work will be limited to Stevenson Towers and will include all sprinkler installation work. So two residential towers are anticipated to be completed in the summer of 11, and two final towers in the summer of 12. And therefore, I'm requesting board approval to revise the scope of the fire sprinkler capital project and set the budget for phase three at $2.685 million. And approval is also requested to proceed with the construction contracts and work orders as necessary to complete the construction and renovation work for phase three. And project costs are paid for from revenue bond funds.
Can I have a motion, please?
Second.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I know this board shares my enthusiasm for bringing state-of-the-art residence halls to our students to enhance their NIU experience. Agenda item 9A8 requests formal board approval to enter into a full development contract with Collegiate Housing Foundation to develop, manage, and finance the construction of a 1,000-bed new residence hall for new students that includes a dining facility. And there is some artwork, 2500 section buildings, and in the middle, which you can't see, is a dining and a social facility. That's the concept that we're thinking about. I don't know. I don't see any little people running around, so we didn't put them in. I'm also, let's see, I think there also may be a another slide associated with that. And I just want to take a minute on the design concept because we've been discussing that. This design concept we think is very innovative. And it's the floors are set up in pods of 12, all right, so 12 students. And there is private rooms, and the two rooms share a private bath. There is a lounge area suitable for a large screen TV, and a study area. I may have those flipped. I'm not sure which. Brian, is that the study area?
Yes, sir.
That's the study area, and this is the lounge area. All right? And we think this is a very innovative concept. So students, they could share a major. It could be honor students who are going to do study abroad. They live and work and study together. I think that's the way it's sort of always been at universities, but this is formalizing it, and we wrap programming around it. So I know the board has been interested in that, so that's the concept. I'm also requesting board approval to enter into a management agreement with CHF, under which the university will act as manager, providing for the overall day-to-day operations of housing and dining facility. After the project is completed, we manage it, we run it. Finally, I'm requesting board approval to authorize the board treasurer and me to provide all the necessary approvals for the project, the development agreement, the financing plan and financing documents, and to execute the terms of these agreements and such other documents, instruments, and agreements necessary or desirable to complete the project consistent with the terms of the ground lease. I ask your approval.
Can I have a motion, please? Second?
Second.
Discussion? Trustee Sanchez.
President Peters, you said individual rooms. In other words, it won't be shared rooms, right?
Private rooms and...
Two private rooms share a bath.
Okay, but private rooms. So would that put an end to, and I don't know how much time is consumed here at NIU, but I know my office manager's daughter is at U of I, and she's trying to pursue every university avenue to get rid of her roommate because they're having such a... Is that an issue here at the... Not really? I mean, who would that come under, John? I'm just curious.
Who wants to admit to that? That's a Brian Hemphill question.
It is?
Go ahead, Brian.
I mean, aren't there some people who want to change their roommate? I mean, 40 years ago when I came here, if I had my druthers, I would have gladly asked for a new roommate, but I just didn't think it was appropriate. I mean, that was part of going to college, is meeting new people and adjusting.
Every year at the beginning of the year, we have a large number of requests to change rooms. So right. That is an issue at NIU, probably just like many other institutions.
Okay. But this then, under this new pod system, where they'd have their own room, correct?
Yeah, and we anticipate there might be a little pre-arranging of the suites.
Yes.
Excellent.
You know, with social networking and yeah. And we did a little bit of that, I think, in Stevenson this year. Is that correct? They
yes.
could pick their roommate?
Yes, we had more first-year students to actually, we had actually 500 first-year students to move into Stevenson this year because they can select their room and also roommates as well. So you have less of those types of issues developed. I think the new thing is that we will have students request to move to another pod. That will probably be the new dynamic.
But I just thought some things never change because my office manager was talking about her daughter wanting a different roommate. Thank you. I think this is a great, and not just because of a new concept, but because of the need, if you will, to upgrade as we've discussed, the whole housing situation. If we're going to be competitive, hell, we have to have the foundational housing situation to be competitive, not just the great academic programs and staff that we have, but we also have to have the physical plants.
Absolutely.
Trustee Boyd.
Yeah, I think that, Chair, that as we discussed in our meetings, this is not all about going home at night and climbing the bed and start classes again the next morning. This is all about a sharing experience, both in terms of living and studying, and having 11 other members to live with, but not on top of each other. It's going to be a great experience, we think, and it will certainly lend to when they graduate that experience continue. So we are certainly excited about it. Thank you.
Trustee Butler.
I want to I just want to point out that I think one of the slides that President Peters showed in his presentation earlier, where we see the decline that's coming in students.
Yeah.
That's a really important slide when you think about the need for us to be competitive with respect to student housing, because we're no longer going to be, we are now going to be competing with other systems that have much better housing. And so this is really, in addition to every other reason why we're doing it, the ones that have been discussed and what Trustee Bowie just mentioned, we also need to remain competitive, and that's what this will do.
Other comments? Yes, Trustee Sorsby.
I would say that I'm elated with the direction that the board is taking in terms of providing and putting students first in terms of student interests. And I'm somewhat jealous that I won't have the opportunity to partake in one of these pods, though, but I'm definitely pleased.
I think we'll offer you the opportunity to come back and live in one. The integrative learning function of this facility is important, so maybe sometime we'll bring back the alums just to provide that input. All right, if there are no other comments, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
A few years from now, students won't even recognize the residence halls. They will be so beautiful and functional and technology equipped. Item 9A10 requests approval for the design and purchase of furniture, fixtures, and equipment necessary to complete Grant Tower C, the first phase of the complete renovation of Grant Towers, in an amount not to exceed $3 million. FF&E, furniture, fixture, and equipment, for this phase includes all furnishings and student rooms, study lounges, lobbies, offices, staff rooms, meeting rooms, laundry facilities, and sea tower. I ask your approval.
Can I have a motion, please?
Second?
Second. Discussion? Trustee Sanchez, I think this means we finally get rid of the furniture that was in your dorm room when you were
indeed. If it's Grant North, and you keep saying C, I don't know what that means, Grant North. I mean, North Grant Tower C. What does that mean?
That's there are four towers.
Okay,
in
the entire
A, B,
complex.
C, and D.
Okay, because no. We used to call it Grant North and Grant South, yeah. And I was in Grant North, and I'll bet you this is the same furniture that was there, but 40 years ago it was spanking new, and you'd still smell new. I got a feeling it don't smell that way now. So thank you, Chair Strauss.
Well, I can't comment on the spanking comment, but I can guarantee you that they don't smell good anymore.
If there's no other discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. All of us have now become accustomed to the differential tuition rates required under the state's Truth in Tuition Law. And this summer, an amendment to the original 2003 Act was approved that further enhances affordability of public university education by providing an additional 2 years of protection from tuition increases. NIU's Truth in Tuition policy will continue to provide a fixed tuition rate schedule for eligible undergraduate students for 4.5 years, 9 semesters, as long as they're continuously enrolled, at the same tuition rate. Beginning this fall, and with a student's 10th semester, the tuition rate will only increase to the equivalent of the rate paid by students who entered the university one fiscal year after the date of the student's original entry. If necessary, this revised tuition rate will be effective through 12 academic semesters. So if you think about that for a minute from a business perspective, someone comes in at a rate, and we keep that rate for 4.5 years and then marginally adjust it for another 2. That's a pretty good deal. And it's one of the difficulties of explaining to the public when we say we're going to raise tuition by 7%. Well, that 7% lasts now about 6 years. Divided by an annual consumer price index, it's a point or two. So that, and that creates a management problem for us because we have to build that in for 6 years. So item 9B1 is an information item, and it's contained in your board materials. No board approval is required, but we have to ensure compliance with this new state statute that took effect this summer. Now, moving on to item 9C1, I have two items to bring before the board for approval this morning directly from me. The first is our fiscal year 2011 internal budget. And this budget reflects the loss of federalist stimulus funds from the fiscal 2010 budget, and that's over $6.7 million on the appropriation side. So I believe it's important to note that our fiscal year 2011 appropriation from the state represents 22.9%, so let's say 23%, of our estimated $438.8 million operating budget. So it's state funds us now at 23%. Each year the state share diminishes, and I've said earlier today, it's not going to dramatically improve anytime soon. So therefore, this budget before you today for approval is yet another reminder of the importance of NIU's accomplishing the goals of Vision 2020 initiative that I outlined earlier this month and today. Fiscal sustainability for this university in an era of diminishing state funding is critical to the long-term vitality of this great institution. So I ask your approval of the fiscal year 2011 internal budget.
Can I have such a motion, please? Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. As is typical, this is my last item, as typical of the state's budget process, we have just begun this fiscal year, and it's now time for the board approval of guidelines for the next fiscal year for 2012 budget development. So agenda item 9C2 presents these guidelines, which must be submitted to the IBHE later this month. And once again, I want to remind everyone that this is a guideline, a request for fiscal 2012 for state funds, a state that is in dire financial straits. As you will see when reviewing the chart included in your materials, you will notice zeros for 2011. No funding increases from the IBHE, the governor, or the General Assembly in our last year's request budget. And once again, given the state's dire financial situation, the likelihood of additional state funding for 2012 is uncertain at best. But nonetheless, while the categories listed here are few in number, to me, I know our needs are great. So I am requesting board approval for a 3% increase for 2012 for salaries, our highest priority, so we can continue to attract and retain the best faculty and staff, and this remains our highest priority. I also want to point out the request for library tech funding for a 3% increase, and you did hear our committee hear a good report on the rising cost of library materials. Universities and colleges routinely see double-digit annual increases in library and technology funding, as we are expected to provide our students with the best resources and equipment. So I'm requesting board approval of these guidelines for 2012 budget development.
Motion, please.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Yes, Trustee Muir.
President Peters, I just want to make a comment that I think we have our priorities straight, and I do want to commend you for that.
Yeah, I say they're few, but the needs are great.
Other comments? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, that completes my report.
Thank you, President Peters. Fellow trustees, any other additional matters? If not, our next
regular full board meeting is scheduled for December 2nd, 2010 on the main campus in DeKalb. Can I have a motion to adjourn? Second? Discussion? All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion carries.